You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everyone, to a new week of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. As we chat on this Sunday morning, we're now just a little over 24 hours removed from when we last spoke. That, of course, was in the aftermath of the Chris Paul press conference and the report out of the New York Daily News that despite the Knicks pausing trade talks, that Carmelo Anthony was still insistent on a deal to the Rockets. I said I would get back with you soon on the Carmelo front because we do expect more developments in the coming days, and Saturday night we got that development from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, by far the best reporter in the business. There's a new story about where talks stand between the Knicks, Carmelo, the Rockets, any other teams in the NBA. So as we chat on this Sunday morning, not a ton new with the Rockets. We covered the Tarik Black thing yesterday. Rockets did hold a press conference for the James Harden extension, but nothing really new came out of that. I think we all have covered what the significance of the James Harden extension through 2022-2023. I think we've looked at that well over the past week. So the real news of the past day is this Woj story. And it's important to come from Woj, not just because he's the best in the business, but he was the guy Thursday night who broke the story of talks being paused. So that's why it's especially important to hear his perspective on this, because you want to get the lay of the land on what's changed or what hasn't since that initial report. And as I look at it, what I'm going to do in this podcast is try and decode it as best I can from a Rockets perspective, what it means. And so as I see it, there are basically three elements to this story. There's Carmelo's desires, there's the Knicks' desires, and then there's a random anecdote about Portland towards the bottom. So I'm going to look at basically all three of those from the standpoint of how they affect the Rockets, and I'm going to start with Carmelo's desires. The good news is that he's leaking pretty strongly, first to the New York Daily News and now to ESPN via Woj, that Carmelo very much still wants to be in Houston, and he's, quote, counting on the franchise to carry out its previously agreed upon mandate to trade him to the Houston Rockets. And that's a big deal because, as I said Thursday night, when this story first leaked and there was a whisper of the Knicks perhaps wanting to reincorporate him into their franchise, the first step towards getting trade talks back on was for Carmelo to leak to the press that his priority was still Houston, that nothing could change, that even if the Knicks wanted him back or were open to some sort of reconciliation, that he still wanted to go to Houston. And of course, given that he's an unhappy player, given that he has a no-trade clause, that he has a player option last summer, he still holds a lot of leverage. And the longer it was quiet, the more you would start to believe a scenario where maybe there could be some sort of short-term mending of the fences. Well, I think it's pretty clear now, first through New York Daily News and now through ESPN, that he is still as firm as ever in his desire to go to Houston. This shouldn't surprise you if you're a Rockets fan, especially if you listen to this podcast. It's pretty clear the relationship that Carmelo has with Chris Paul and James Harden. Recruitment has been going on for some time. I've reported that Carmelo's camp has been intrigued by Houston since April. Last week, I learned that someone representing him in all likelihood made a very serious real estate inquiry here in Houston. So I think this is pretty far down the tracks and he's not going to turn it around. However, for him to essentially make those feelings public in the immediate aftermath, again, the first 2 days since that story broke late Thursday night about trade talks being paused, that's a big deal. The real takeaway from this, though, it's not just that Carmelo wants to go to the Rockets. It's paragraph three in which Woj spells out that in recent weeks, he has begun to prioritize a trade to the Rockets to join Paul and Harden over one to the Cavaliers to join LeBron James. That is a huge deal because, as I've been saying for some time, the buyout is feasible. Now, I don't think it's anywhere close. I know some folks say that, well, the buyout doesn't make sense for the Knicks because it would only add to their cap figure. Well, there are a couple of things. First, no one's going to hint at being open to a buyout until the buyout's actually going to happen. Because if you say, well, I'm open to a buyout, then all of a sudden trade discussions get tabled right there because the Rockets and anybody else, of course the Rockets would rather add Carmelo without losing Ryan Anderson. That's an ideal scenario. So if the Knicks leak that they're open to a buyout, then the Rockets just sit back and wait, especially if you know that he's going to pick that. So I don't really believe that the lack of the Knicks being open to a buyout so far, according to these anonymous reports, means that there's not going to be it. And as far as the cap situation, yes, I understand that a buyout means that you'd be putting Carmelo on your salary cap, yet not even having him play for your team. But the problem with the Ryan Anderson contract, and I would guess a lot of others in these proposed 3 and 14 versions of deals that send Carmelo to Houston, is the length. The problem is that Ryan Anderson makes $20 million a year for the next 3 seasons. If you buy out Carmelo, unless you stretch him, you can absorb that cap hit over the short term. And while it's not ideal for anyone, I think the Knicks would love to just get more immediate cap relief. If push comes to shove, they don't want that 3-year Ryan Anderson contract, but they don't want the toxic situation of Carmelo coming back and unhappy Carmelo being followed by the media around their young players in the middle of their rebuilding effort. I could see a buyout becoming a reality. Now, I don't think they would do it until they were desperate, which probably means not until late August or September, right before training camp, but it is something to keep in the back of your minds. And as far as the Rockets are concerned, yes, I believe he would pick Houston over Cleveland. I've said this for some time. The reports that Carmelo would pick the Cavs if he were bought out, the vast majority of them were very old, i.e. dating back to the trade deadline or earlier before the Rockets were known as a player for Chris Paul. That might be Carmelo's best friend in the entire NBA. A lot of things have changed. The only new report linking Carmelo to Cleveland via buyout was one from Stephen A. Smith that was right after the Chris Paul trade about 2.5 weeks ago. And I've said many times, it never made any sense. Now, I do think Stephen A. Smith is plugged in, but many times when you're plugged in, especially if you're plugged in with a certain team, you get bits of information that are not necessarily accurate. And if you just think through the report from Stephen A. Smith, which was that he would either join the Rockets by trade or Cleveland via buyout, it doesn't really make a lot of sense because, first off, if you want to get to Cleveland, if he's a free agent and that's where he would choose, well, he's got a no-trade clause, so he's effectively a free agent right now. If he wants to go to Cleveland, just say, I'm not going to go to Houston. It's pretty simple. Because in my opinion, a trade is actually easier for the Knicks to trade Carmelo to Cleveland than it is to Houston. Because Ryan Anderson, the problem isn't Ryan Anderson the basketball player, because Ryan's completely fine in that regard. The problem is Ryan Anderson the contract. You could send Carmelo to Cleveland for a package involving Amon Shumpert, Channing Frye, some smaller expiring contracts that actually make a lot more sense for the Knicks, than the package from Houston. The package from Houston is very difficult to make work for the Knicks. The only reason that the Houston thing is being pursued as heavily as it is because that's where Carmelo wants to go, and the Knicks understand that if they engage in serious negotiations anywhere else, he can just exercise his no-trade clause and block it. So that's why it never made sense to me that, well, he was open to the Rockets coming by trade, but if it was a buyout, he would go to Cleveland. Folks, just think it through. If he wants to go to Cleveland, just block the trade to Houston, and he doesn't even have to be a buyout. Then he can get all of his money because there's, even without Kevin Love, there's a route for the Cavaliers with shorter-term contracts to give the Knicks a lot of the cap relief that they desire. I really don't see it being that difficult for Carmelo to get to Cleveland. It's certainly not ideal for the Knicks, but it's a little more ideal than the Rockets, I'll tell you that much. I think they can get a little bit more of what they desire from Cleveland. It's just that that's not where Carmelo wants to go. The other part of it, just think about all we've learned in recent days. They've had so many conversations, Carmelo with Chris Paul and James Harden. We're far enough down the road to where Carmelo has been scoping out real estate in Houston. So we've gone through all of these steps, and then somehow if Carmelo were a free agent, he would not pick Houston? Are you serious with that? Just, again, think it through. I know there are reports in the past, but the game changed when the Rockets got Chris Paul and started to form this potential super team to rival the Warriors. The perspective of the Cavaliers versus the Rockets in Carmelo's mind before all of this new movement with the Rockets roster is irrelevant. And so people have a hard time letting go of the previous beliefs, which is everyone knows Carmelo and LeBron are close, and in the past there have been some rumors there. But other than that lone Stephen A. Smith report, which never really made that much sense, every bit of momentum this summer with Carmelo Anthony has been towards Houston. And as far as the Stephen A. Smith report, what I would argue is, as far as why that part is a little flawed, keep in mind the Knicks are Stephen's quote-unquote team. He's got a ton of sources in New York. That's where he's based. Who does it benefit to leak that Carmelo would join the Rockets by trade or the Cavaliers by buyout? It benefits the Knicks, because what that's saying is putting out that, hey, if you're Daryl Morey, you better add a little bit more to this package, another first-round draft pick, another asset from another team, whatever it may be, because don't think you have that buyout in your back pocket, because if he gets bought out, he may go to Cleveland. That's who that benefits, and conveniently, Stephen A. is very plugged in around the New York Knicks. So yes, I think he was told that. However, I don't think it was genuine. I think that it was basically posturing from the New York front office. And by the way, the New York front office has leaked 90% of this stuff. Everyone I've talked to around the deal says that the vast majority of these leaks are from the New York front office. And yeah, as it pertains to the Rockets versus Cavaliers thing, it's pretty clear Carmelo wants Houston. And that's a big deal because it's not just with the trade, it's knowing in the back of your mind that even if this gets ugly, even if the Knicks draw the hardest line in the sand and are unwilling to do anything involving Ryan Anderson or a 3 or 4 team trade that lands them someone else with a similar contract length or undesirable deal, then yes, a buyout is still possible. And as I said earlier, even though it's not ideal for the Knicks cap figure, I still think it's a possibility because bringing an unhappy Melo around that young team in their rebuilding efforts, I don't think that's what anybody wants. And then keeping him, you know, there's that player option. You don't have any certainty on what's going to happen. At least with a buyout, you have certainty over what your cap figure is going to be based on the terms of that buyout the next 2 years. I don't think they're ever going to admit to being open to it because the second they do that, that kind of kills all trade leverage because the Rockets can just wait it out and add Carmelo on top of Ryan Anderson. But I do think it's an option that the Rockets are aware is a possibility in the back of their minds. And as far as Rockets fans, I think you can rest easy. This report from Woj makes it pretty clear. If you kind of just put clues together in the past, you can see that Carmelo wanted Houston over Cleveland. But this is the first one that explicitly spells it out. That yeah, not only does Carmelo want a trade to Houston, and that desire still exists despite the, quote, pausing in talks. Well, Carmelo, even if it comes to a buyout, he's going to pick Houston over Cleveland. So that's a big deal.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Now, that's the first part, which is Carmelo's desires, and I think that has to make you feel good as a Rockets fan. The rest of the story, it's mixed. The next part I'm going to say is the Knicks' desires, and where this gets interesting is that it says that the Knicks are weighing whether it's worth allowing time for Anthony standing around the NBA to be rebuilt as opposed to trading him at an all-time low. What that is, and I spelled this out in Friday morning's podcast immediately afterward, that's a threat to keep him on the roster entering the regular season. Because, folks, nothing is going to change over the next 2 months. You're not going to rebuild his value by him sitting and doing whatever he's doing in the offseason. That's not going to happen. If you're going to rebuild his value, that's a threat to essentially keep him and let his play on the court do the talking. And it spells out that they want a meeting with Carmelo in the coming days, including new GM Scott Perry. And, of course, President Steve Mills is still the ultimate power broker in New York. It says that they're skeptical that they can actually change his mind to get him to be open to joining the Knicks. However, Woj points out that there isn't much that Carmelo can do if the Knicks decide to bring him back to start the season. That's because he's on the contract. And Woj spells out that Perry has history with Anthony, that's the new Knicks GM, and strong relationships with some in Carmelo's inner circle. Now, decoding what this means, this is closer to the New York Post report from Mark Berman than the original ESPN report. And as I said all along, I always bought the Berman story more than ESPN, which is that it's not so much about believing that Carmelo can be talked into staying in New York. The real end game is to try and leverage him into potentially expanding his trade list to include teams that the Knicks might can get more value back from. And that's important because at least their cards are being put on the table now. It's ridiculous to think that Carmelo would be willing, even if he likes Scott Perry. First off, the Knicks, the ultimate power broker, Steve Mills, who's president, he's still the ultimate authority on basketball decisions. James Dolan is still the owner. Mills and Dolan have been the power brokers. They are still the power brokers. So all this distrust between Carmelo and the Knicks, the ultimate decision makers, those guys are still there. No matter what the Knicks want to call it, this isn't a culture change. So it's ridiculous to expect Carmelo to go back, especially when the Knicks essentially vowed to trade him to Houston and were responsible for Carmelo thinking that a deal was done this past week. So I think at least now we're getting closer to putting the truth out there, which is that the Knicks, even if Scott Perry has decent relationships with Carmelo, there's no realistic path for Carmelo to want to go back to the Knicks. In addition to the distrust that's there between Carmelo and the higher-ups with the Knicks, the other thing, he's 33 years old. I think he's come to a conclusion that this point in his NBA career, he's probably only got a couple of true prime years left. And if he wants to maximize those, he needs to be in a place where he can win. And even if somehow he's great friends with Scott Perry and he's got his family in New York and all that kind of stuff, all of that doesn't change the fact that the Knicks do not have a good basketball roster and they're not going to be able to contend even if you bring Carmelo Anthony back. That's just not going to work. So there's just no reason for that to be a viable threat. The real threat, as I spelled out since this happened, is the Knicks essentially leveraging, hey, I'm going to keep you because essentially we think the cap relief from you walking in 2018 is better than whatever we're getting back in these 3 or 4 team trade discussions involving deals that send Carmelo to Houston. There have also been other reports in the past couple of days from the New York media that Scott Perry is explicitly wanting a meeting with Carmelo to sit down and kind of pick his brain over what's going on with this. And that, to me, shows you the depth of the negotiations that are at play. And that's why I think it's more complex. That's why I'm not expecting a deal imminently. I don't think it's as simple as saying, hey, Carmelo, are you open to coming back to the Knicks? And he says, no. Where do you want to go? Houston. Okay. And then the Knicks picking up the phone and dealing him to Houston. That's the rosy scenario. I know some Rockets fans have kind of painted that as possibility, that as soon as Perry gets settled in, he'll deal him to Houston. I don't buy that that's going to happen because the Knicks' end game is not just to make Carmelo Anthony. They're in this for themselves as well. And if it was that simple, you wouldn't even need to have a meeting with Carmelo. You wouldn't even need to necessarily have a phone call. You could just send a text, an email. I guess you could have a short call if you wanted, but you wouldn't need to take several days to meet with him and do that. It would be very simple. And as soon as Carmelo says, no, I don't want to come back, yeah, I want to go to Houston, which he's already effectively leaked to the media, then the whole thing is done. I think the reason that the Knicks are trying to get this meeting with Carmelo is because you want to get everybody in a room and everyone, it's kind of a high-stakes poker game is what it is. It's a stare-down and you want to see who blinks first and who's going to call the other's bluff. That's essentially what this is. And the Knicks know that, yes, they have a lot to lose, but the biggest threat, bringing an unhappy Carmelo to training camp, having that spectacle around their young team moving forward, that's not a reality until mid-September when teams report to training camp. So there's still 2 months. They've got a lot of time that they can use. And in my opinion, one thing they can do, I'm not convinced it will necessarily go down this route, but I know the Rockets are prepared for it. That's why the Rockets are not looking at this as the people I know around the Rockets are not expecting discussions to pick up that soon. They're looking at it as kind of a long game because the Knicks, if they want Carmelo to blink, they can essentially say, hey, we're going to keep you. And one thing that's possible, if and when they meet, I would not be surprised if there's a leak to the media afterward that something like Scott Perry and Carmelo had cordial, constructive dialogue, and we look forward to continuing those discussions in the future. They won't say something that's an outright lie. They won't say something that, oh, Carmelo's excited to go back to the Knicks, because, of course, that can be easily disproven from Carmelo's side. But what essentially they can do is make it a clear threat that, hey, we're thinking about keeping you long term, we're open to doing this. And essentially the threat there is that Carmelo, you better open up your trade list because we've tried with Houston. It doesn't really work out with what we want. So essentially they would sit back for 2 months, and the closer it gets to training camp, they hope that Carmelo blinks first and expands his list to get out of here. That's not necessarily what's going to happen, but it's definitely a possibility. And I think that's why they want a meeting with Carmelo, because I don't know if they want to outright threaten him. I don't know if they want to make it that nasty, but you know, they want to see what happens when they lay out some of these scenarios. They want to get a read because they want to, both sides want to know who's going to blink first. And of course, as I've said, I think Carmelo holds the upper hand, because if he's insisting on Houston, to me, the Knicks have more to lose when you factor in the unhappy player, the player option in 2018, which makes it impossible for the Knicks to project with any certainty what's going to happen with their future cap figures, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's just a much cleaner break if he's traded for contracts that are more certain, or if he's bought out. To me, the Knicks have more to lose, and that's why I think Carmelo stands strong. However, it is not unprecedented for the player to blink first. There have been negotiations just like this in the past where that has happened. So if the Knicks want to play the long game, they can try that as well. Both sides know that there are 2 months. The true deadline is not until players start reporting to training camp for the season. So if the Knicks may be willing to play the long game as well. There have been some hints at that. You can see that in the Woj story that was posted. If you haven't read it yet, please do, ESPN.com. But you can see hints of that. They're not outright saying they're willing to do that. They're still right now saying paused for a short time, that kind of stuff. But I think that's why they want to get both of these parties in a room, because they want to try and read the other side as best they can and see if, hey, if we play the long game, can this work out for us? Because, yeah, pretty clearly, I don't think Carmelo and the Knicks are going to be able to patch things up. The goal for the Knicks is to be able to potentially expand that trade list so that they can get more value in return. And the best way they can get him to expand that trade list, because Carmelo has no incentive to do them a favor, he's not going to do anything out of the goodness of his heart, they've actually done him wrong, and he wants to go to Houston. The way that the Knicks can get him to expand his list is to basically threaten him that, hey, if you don't expand your list, you're stuck here. So the Knicks are going to read Carmelo, Carmelo's going to read the Knicks, and each side is going to basically see, hey, if we play the long game, can this work out for us? To me, Carmelo has the upper hand, but it is a poker game, and you just have to hope that Carmelo is willing to stand strong. The good news is he's been around this league a long time. So has Chris Paul. So has Carmelo's agents and representation. So I think that they know how to play this game, and they're aware of these dynamics. But that's kind of where I see the situation between what the Knicks are trying to do. They're not outright committing to going down that path, but it's certainly a possibility. So if you're a Rockets fan, brace yourself for a potential leak in the coming days that the meeting had constructive dialogue, that they're open to continuing talks, et cetera, basically hinting at keeping Carmelo around. Because if they want to play the long game, the Knicks can. I don't think it's genuine. I think they clearly, both sides want to move on. But if the Knicks want to, they can lay out a pretty strong case for, hey, either expand your list so we can get more value, or we're going to keep you. And if you're a Rockets fan, you just have to hope that Carmelo calls their bluff, and ultimately, before training camp, I think the odds are still good that he can ultimately get his way to Houston. If you want a positive note out of it, the one thing that actually gives me hope is that sentence that Woj stated about Scott Perry having history with Carmelo and strong relationships with his inner circle. I know some initially took that as a negative, fearing that maybe that could mend fences with Carmelo in New York. I don't really buy that. As I said earlier, I think that bridge is long burned from the standpoint not just of the Knicks doing Carmelo wrong, Mills and Dolan still being there, but also the reality that even if somehow Melo and Perry had a great relationship, there's just no way he could win. And Carmelo at 33, he needs to win. It just doesn't make sense on any level. So I don't see that as a threat. I actually see that as a positive, because what matters in the NBA these days, it's about being seen as a player-friendly organization. I've made the analogy before to the Lou Williams trade to Houston, how Magic Johnson, his first day as the new GM in LA, essentially did Lou a favor to kind of get back in the good graces of the agent community, the players around the league, be seen as player-friendly. That's a big deal. If Scott Perry has history with Carmelo and strong relationships with his inner circle, and by the way, many of those guys either have relationships with other players around the league or are seen as very powerful men, then he may not want to double-cross them. If Perry knows that the Knicks have essentially promised Carmelo that he would be dealt, if he knows that this is where Carmelo wants to go, that he wants to go to Houston, there is a scenario where Scott Perry says, hey, even if this deal isn't great for us now, for the long-term reputation of the Knicks luring players down the line, we need to just take the short-term hit in terms of whatever contracts would be heading their way in a potential deal, and do right by Carmelo, which is living up to their word that apparently he would be traded to Houston. So that's the one positive. I don't know that it will happen that way, but it's a possibility. The fact that Scott Perry, if he's seen as player friendly, if he's got good relationships with Carmelo, his inner circle, then he may do quote unquote right by Carmelo to essentially preserve the Knicks' reputation and show that there is a culture change. Because that's what the Knicks put out in their press release the other day, in addition to all the nonsense about rebuilding, which, yeah, it's nonsense because until you deal Carmelo, you're not rebuilding. But beyond that, the Knicks use the phrase culture change. Well, yeah, you can't just say that. You've got to show it. And, yeah, the old Knicks, they'd play hardball Steve Mills, James Dolan. But if the Knicks want to actually show that they're different, that there is a culture change, this is one way they could do it, to essentially honor their word and say, hey, even if this isn't the best deal for us, we recognize you have a no-trade clause, we recognize we told you this, we need to get this done. So that, to me, it's not a negative. It's actually a little bit of a positive that, at least for now, we'll see what happens after the meeting. We'll see what leaks happen in the coming days. But I could see a scenario where if Scott Perry wants to maintain those relationships and be seen as, you know, a player-friendly GM, then maybe that's a chance for Carmelo to get what he wants. Now, the final part of the Woj story is this bizarre anecdote about one team that New York and Houston had hoped would facilitate a multi-team trade was Portland, but the Blazers only plan to participate if Anthony decides to expand his no-trade clause to include Portland. Well, that's just downright laughable. Carmelo Anthony is not going to go to Portland. Essentially, Carmelo with no trade clause is a free agent, and he's not going to go from Houston and Cleveland, two teams that are bona fide contenders with him, to the Portland Trailblazers. That's just absolutely laughable. And, of course, next line, Portland believes the addition of a player like Anthony would furnish it with talent and depth comparable to those of the top Western Conference contenders. Because of that, Blazers have little, if any, inclination to facilitate an Anthony deal that would land him with a Western Conference rival such as Houston. My response to that would be, keep it in context. We made a lot of assumptions throughout the week that Portland would be the third team in the deal, but no one, at least of all a credible reporter like Woj, ever reported that they were the third team in these hypothetical three and four team arrangements. A lot of us guessed that. There were a couple of anonymous reports from unproven reporters that they could be. I believe strongly, as Woj says, that New York and Houston at one point had hoped that Houston would facilitate a multi-team, that Portland would facilitate a multi-team trade. But what I don't buy is that when talks were at their hottest on Wednesday, before things died down on Thursday, we had the report from Woj that essentially a third team was confirmed, that both the Knicks and Rockets felt strongly about that a third team was set and in place, and then essentially it was just about finding a fourth team to move one of the contracts from that third team that New York did not want to accept. And a lot of us kind of put two and two together. There have been a couple of small leaks that Portland could be interested. Portland seems to be capped out for the foreseeable future. They also have some somewhat undesirable contracts. So a lot of us assumed or guessed, I did on this program, that essentially Ryan would be going to Portland and the undesirable contract might be Myers Leonard, for example. But as I tried to say, and everyone needs to keep in mind, that was an assumption. There was never any credible report that Portland actually was the third team in the deal. So a lot of fans initially read that and took it as a hit, saying, well, where's Ryan going now? I really do not think that in 72 hours, the Blazers went from saying, sure, we'll take Ryan Anderson, we'll move these two guys, saying, nah, we're good. We're not going to participate at all unless we're getting Carmelo. That would be incredibly unstable. That would be ridiculous. I don't buy that for a second. What I think is a much more reasonable scenario is that the third team taking Ryan Anderson was someone other than Portland, and we just mistakenly assumed and guessed it was Portland. Woj never spelled out who that third team was, and also in his report on Saturday night, this latest one, he never says that the third team that was in place is now not there. If Woj is as good a reporter as there is, if his own reporting had been contradicted, especially essentially, if what he kind of led his story with on Wednesday when talks were at their hottest, that a third team was confirmed, he would have spelled out saying, hey, this was the team that was going to facilitate a trade, and now they're not. He doesn't say that. Essentially, what he does is just say that one team that they had hoped. My guess is that during the beginning of this process, the Rockets and Knicks had seen Portland as a viable Ryan Anderson destination for a lot of the same reasons that we have. However, they checked in and found that they weren't a reasonable path, and then the Rockets and Knicks move down to other teams. I don't think in 72 hours that Portland has pulled an entire 180 on their franchise direction and now believes that they trade for Carmelo, that they're as good as the Rockets, the Spurs, the Thunder, anybody else. That's just ridiculous. I don't think Portland's that unstable. I think we all just kind of try to put two and two together, but at the end of the day, those are guesses, those are assumptions, and those were probably wrong. I think Woj, you know, we saw Woj at Toyota Center on Friday. While he doesn't really engage in back-and-forth banter with fans, other media, et cetera, he's aware of Twitter. He's on there. He knows there's been a lot of internet speculation about Portland being with a third or fourth team in the trade. And so what I think happened is he's aware of that speculation. So he checked in with Portland the past couple of days saying, hey, are you involved in this trade? What's your perspective on it? And he found that out and that they're not willing to participate, essentially, unless they're getting Carmelo, which means they're not willing to participate. And then he reported it essentially to kind of douse the speculation, to put it out. And it's still a very valid report. I'm glad that Woj did it, but I think a lot of fans are taking it the wrong way. I really don't think that they were the team Wednesday, and now the Rockets and Knicks are back at square one and don't have, you know, the parameters for a 3 or 4 team deal in place. I think there's just a lot of assumptions about Portland. We had all guessed that for a variety of reasons. There were some smaller reports, but no one truly qualified in terms of the Woj level of journalism had ever mentioned who that third team is. In fact, my guess is that the Knicks and Rockets said they had a third team in place, but didn't identify who that third team was because negotiations are sensitive. A lot of people guessed Portland. Woj looked into it and found out that they're not, but I don't think that the parameters that were in place Wednesday and Thursday, when it seemed like a deal was getting pretty close on the 2-yard line, as the New York Daily News put it, I don't think that has been undone. I think Woj just checked in based on the rumors, found that Portland is not the destination, but it does not mean that the 3 or 4 team deal that was in place earlier this week is not there. So I think a lot of Rockets fans, after giving it 12 or so hours to digest, are kind of coming to terms with that. But some of the initial reaction, and I just want to kind of clarify that in case some of you were under that impression. While it's not impossible, I can't say with any certainty that Portland was not involved in that deal Wednesday or Thursday. At the same time, I find it extremely unlikely for a lot of reasons, the way Woj phrased his reporting, and also just the reality that GMs are not unstable, and to essentially in 72 hours go from being open to Ryan Anderson to, no, we're not doing anything unless we get Carmelo, that is just kind of ridiculous. That shows a complete lack of any kind of long-term foresight, reality about where the franchise is, and I don't think Portland or any team, maybe the one exception is the New York Knicks, but other than that, I don't think any GM is that unstable. And of course, the last line of the story, probably the best line if you're Rockets fans, Houston is determined to complete a deal for Anthony and believes he is focused on playing with the Rockets next season. And folks, if that is true, I think ultimately a deal gets done. I don't know when it's going to be. My guess is weeks rather than days, because I think New York is clearly evaluating what leverage they have and trying to exert it in whatever way is beneficial to them. And I think it's going to be a lot more complicated than just having a meeting with Scott Perry and Carmelo and saying, hey, you want to be here? No. And Carmelo saying, I want to go to Houston. Okay. I think expecting it to be that simple is a little naive. That's why I'm not expecting the resolution anytime soon. It could happen based on the positive relationships that Scott Perry has with Carmelo and his inner circle. I'd love to be pleasantly surprised, but I'm not counting on it. I don't think the Rockets are either. I think the Rockets are confident, but they're confident based on the long game, which is that the underlying fundamentals haven't changed. Carmelo has a no-trade clause. He's got a player option in 2018. He holds all the cards. If he is focused on playing for the Rockets, he can make that happen. Because in my opinion, yes, even if there's a stare-down, the Knicks have more to lose. And it might take another month or two, depending on exactly how stubborn the Knicks are about it. But if Carmelo is focused on playing for the Rockets, then ultimately I think the odds are pretty good that by training camp in September, Houston is where he will be. So, with that positive note, I will wrap up this episode of Locked on Rockets. Hope this helps you guys decode the Woj report a little bit more. And hopefully we get even more reports in the coming days to break down because, well, we've talked Carmelo, I feel like, nonstop for the last 2 or 3 weeks. But I know it's a big deal to the Rockets because that's kind of completing the big three. That's the final step to truly having a team that at least has a puncher's chance against the Warriors. So, understand why it's a big deal. And so, whenever these reports come out, I'll do my best to try and decode them from a Rockets perspective as best I can and basically put it into the broader narrative of what it means for the Rockets in these seemingly never-ending trade discussions with the Knicks for Carmelo Anthony and whether it moves the needle forward, back, whatever it means for his ultimate landing or lack thereof in Houston. So for now, I will go out and enjoy my Sunday. Hope you guys do as well. Again, I'm Ben Dubose, your host. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. This is Locked on Rockets. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked on Rockets. Also email lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program. As far as the days ahead, I think the Rockets, they're still looking at the guard market. They signed Tarik Black for the biannual exception the other day, so the biannual is gone. They still do have minimum contracts. I think they'd like to potentially sign one more veteran guard to feel a little bit better about their rotation. There's also the matter of Troy Williams, who played well at the Summer League. He's not under contract yet, So be it Troy, a veteran guard, there are some smaller moves that could be made in the coming days, because whether Carmelo's here or not, you do need to fill out that roster. So there will be some smaller things to keep an eye on as free agency starts to kind of dry up, which means some of these smaller deals for the minimum become more possible. But the bigger story, of course, is Carmelo, and as far as what comes next, I think the real truth of the matter is we're waiting on the Knicks to kind of either have that meeting, that phone call, whatever it may be. There is going to be, I believe, a press conference introducing Perry to the New York media on Monday afternoon. Doubt anything happens before then, because it seems like they want to be that to be about his introduction. And then after that, we'll have to see, do they have an official meeting, is it a phone call, whatever it is. But we'll wait for the leak after that, and we'll kind of get a better judge by that. Are the Knicks playing the long game, or is Scott Perry realizing that the Knicks essentially need to cut their losses? I think that's what's going to be interesting to watch this week. But whatever happens, whenever that next story comes out, I'll be here on Locked On Rockets to break it down. So for now, hope everybody enjoys their Sunday. I will as well, and look forward to talking with you guys in the coming days whenever there are more Woj bombs or any stories about this Carmelo Anthony situation.